You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
What newspapers and magazines did you regularly read to stay informed and to understand the
world? I read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like, what ones specifically?
All of them.
Want to know more than Sarah Palin? Join CITR's Current Affairs Coordinator Alex DeBoer every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest to learn best practices for covering local current affairs topics for radio. The weekly training sessions will cover writing for radio, determining newsworthiness, media ethics, interviewing, writing balanced stories, and more. Born out of an initiative to give more voice to local women artists and musicians, Mixtapes is a Vancouver-based biannual mixtape featuring women-identified musicians and sound artists from the Pacific Northwest. The Spring 2018 edition will be coming out on May 10th, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter. Women-identified artists are invited to send their submissions to btchtapes@gmail.com. The release fundraiser will be held on May 10th at the Redgate Review Stage, featuring artists selected for this edition of the cassette.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from the unceded Musqueam Territory here at UBC Vancouver campus. We are in hour 14 of 24 hours of straight student programming, otherwise known as 24 hours of student power. I'm Hala, I'm the president of the student executive, and I'm joined by two very special guests, Julia and Micah, from the Classical Near Eastern and Religious Studies Student Association. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. So first off, tell me a little bit about what Sinners does. I always pronounce it Sinners. Is that?
Yeah.
That's okay. No,
it does sound like Sinners, but it is C-N-E-R-S.
Okay, yeah. People always laugh when I call it Sinners, but I love that.
Me too. I find it very funny, especially considering that we are technically also the Religious Studies Department. So we study the ancient world, the ancient Mediterranean and the Near East. So Greece and Rome is like the big part of what we do, probably I would say the majority. But we also include the religious studies, which is the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, I think Islam as well.
Yes.
In our department. And Near Eastern studies, which is stuff like Egyptology, ancient Egyptology, and, the Persian Empire, stuff like that. So we have a pretty broad range of different kind of things under the broader idea of ancient history.
I had no idea. I'm also a Sinners major, and I had no idea Egyptology was part of that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm currently in an Egyptian religion class, so it's a huge draw, I think. There is quite a few students that have exclusively taken these Egyptology courses.
Interesting. Is that under NEST?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. So, yeah, tell me what classes you're in this term.
Currently, I am in Greek law, which is really fun.
That's my favorite all-time Sinners course.
Oh, so much fun. No, it's really great.
Toph is the best prof.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So much fun. He has such a passion for the subject,
I know.
Which is so great.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to take Roman law ever?
I did, with Kat Humeler.
Yeah. I love her, too.
She's so wonderful.
Kat is perfect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's had her baby. That's so exciting.
I know. Yeah. I'm so excited. Someone who I took the class with texted me that he saw Kat, like, out in the world with her baby, and I was just so stoked.
Oh, yeah. I think she came to visit, actually, quite recently. With her little baby.
That's so cute. Sweet. Do you know the name?
I think it's Irene.
That's lovely. I also love her, that she's married to another like faculty member in Sinners.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Humeler. It's quite funny. I had no idea. And then I found out because I was talking about Humeler. They're like, oh, which one? And I was like, oh, well, the only one? And they're like, no.
I feel like that's every classical studies major's like dream, is to like marry another classicist. Like, how much better could it get?
We, Toph's wife is a prof in the theater department, but
really?
She's yeah, Hallie Marshall. She's also quite kind of interested, I think, in knowledgeable about the ancient world and ancient. She's leading the 400 level Go Global seminar this summer to Greece, which so she obviously knows quite a, like the two of them kind of tag team on that. Kind of ancient theater and performance and poetry and stuff like that, which goals.
Yeah, there's all these like secret duos in Sinners, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They also have an extremely cute baby.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He just had a baby.
Yes.
That's so funny. Do you know of any other duos?
I know Nigel Kennel's wife is also a classicist. She specializes, I think, in like Heinrich Schliemann and his like excavations at Troy and stuff like that, from what I know.
I believe that's correct.
She's not in our department though. I don't know where she
I'm not sure where she teaches, but
still three duos, that's a lot for one small department. Speaking of size, do you either of you know how big Sinners is? Like, how many people actually come out of it with a major and graduate from there? Do you know?
I believe our major numbers are actually quite low. It's a very, very small department. I'm not sure about exact numbers, but I believe, at least in my year, I think there is, that I know of, around five of us.
Yeah. There's definitely a few people who, like, are kind of ghost majors. I made air quotes, which on radio doesn't work. They, like, people who I don't know are majors because I never, like, have talked to them, really, outside of brief interactions in class and stuff. And then I find out that they're a major, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I think there might be a few more than that, but not more than, at least in our year. Yeah, like maybe 10 or 15 at the absolute most, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I find that as well. I feel like there's those faces in Sinners that are really prominent and are really involved in the journal and the exec and all the events. And then there's the people. I feel like I'm one of those people where I'm kind of a ghost major, where I think people like in the department don't like see me and they're like, oh, another classical studies major. But Dora, who's the VP here, who just walked past us, is a minor in classical studies. And that's like, I feel like a lot of people are like secret minors too.
Yeah, it's a I think it's a pretty common minor actually, because it's, I mean, it's a field that is sort of tangentially relevant to a lot of other stuff: political science, history, philosophy, languages, if you're into languages, linguistics, etymology, that sort of stuff. It's a great minor, and I know like a lot of people use it as a, even as a major if they're planning to go to law school and stuff like that. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that there are a lot of minors that we just
It does cross a lot of boundaries and is quite relevant to a lot of fields, which is one of the best things about it, I would say.
Yeah. So, Micah, I cut you off earlier. Finish telling me what courses you're in this term.
Oh, yeah. So I said Greek law. I'm also in Egyptian religion. It's my first Egyptology course with Dr. Schneider, which is really interesting, really fun. And my third one is, oh, yes, Greek religion. I'm in with Julia, actually. We're both in that one together.
Dora's in that class, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So what courses are you in this term?
So Greek religion with Micah and with Dora. I have Greek art and architecture, which is one of the kind of foundational courses, I think, in the major. And then I'm also in both Greek and Latin second year level. So, yeah, it's ancient Greek, not modern Greek. So the languages take up a lot of my time.
Yeah, I bet. I did Latin for a while, too, and it was just such a time suck. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Learning ancient languages is definitely hard because of how much you have to do by memorization rather than, you know, conversation practice or whatever. But it's rewarding.
It is, and it's absolutely a conversation piece. When people ask you, like, hey, what's your major? You're like, oh, classical studies. They're like, what does that entail? You're like, oh, like, Latin and ancient Greek. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know. So it's a lot of fun to kind of see the surprise on their face when you say that you study the ancient languages.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny that you should bring that up. I think that that's a really common experience for classical studies majors, is I'll often meet new people and say I'm a classical studies major, and I've had people guess that I study classical literature, I've had people guess that I study music, and no one ever guesses, like, what classics actually is. So do you think that that's, like, a cause of the branding of classics, or do you think people just don't know?
It's interesting. I was actually reading an article in sort of a journal, like a blog almost, written by classicists online called Eidolon. Real interesting stuff. And in the article, the author made a comment about how classical studies is sort of a misleading name for what we do and doesn't reflect actually what we do study, but it also reflects an attitude that classicists have about our field and its relevance to modern culture. Like, we feel like, well, this is the classical stuff of our culture, which is really, like, it is. But at the same time, like, if what we study is the ancient Mediterranean, should we call ourselves ancient Mediterranean studies or whatever? It's hard to say. And this is what we've known ourselves as for ages and ages. It's definitely an old discipline, so it's hard to say. But yeah, no, I do think what we call ourselves is.
Yeah, I feel like the term classical studies has kind of been lost over the ages. Like, it's a very, very old and very well-respected degree among, like, the older generations. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now, kind of with the younger generations, it's kind of been lost in, like, the prominence that it's had in kind of everyday university. So not a lot of people know immediately what classical studies is. And that's another indication is how small the department is. Like, in some universities, it's one of the most, like, massive departments they can have. But for us, it's probably one of the smallest.
I think that has to do a little bit with the history of elitism of classics as well, because we see this history of a lot of, like, old white dudes studying the classics. And that's a completely, like, unfair representation. And that leads to biases in research. And that leads to, like, a lot of studies on men in ancient Greece, for example. So I think that probably has to do with it a little bit, is that classics doesn't immediately strike me as the most accessible thing to learn.
I think that that's a challenge for our generation of academics. Like, I'm looking to going into academia, and as somebody who's interested in, like, you know, women's issues and queer issues and things like that, there's kind of a revolution, a bit of a quiet revolution going on in the field, I think, or an increasingly noisy revolution going on in the field of women and people of color and queer people, academics, trying to bring these things to the fore in the way that we study this history that is quite foundational to our culture, but also there are a lot of things about the way we study, the way we consider what is essentially ancient European history as a foundation of a culture that is not just European anymore, that, yeah, we have to reflect on that and think about how to bring our field into the modern day and into kind of a more intersectional academic environment.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I admire Kat Humler so much as a prof, is because you don't really see, at least in my experience in the classics, like, young women teaching in the classics, and you don't really see a focus on women in the classics. Like, I think Kat's specialty is women in ancient Greece and slavery, which is such an incredibly specific and interesting topic. And I think, like, that's why her as a prof, like, I really identify with that, and she seems so inspirational to me.
And I think there is something to be said about that, because she is what I would consider one of the most popular professors at this time. Well, she's on maternity leave now, but I know people that I've met that have taken just one classics course with her and have pursued classical studies just in order to have more classes with her. Like, she's really opened up a lot of avenues for outside students, just because they can see that, like, a young, successful woman can break into this industry and this field.
Definitely. Well, on that note, let's get into some music. So we'll play a couple songs for you, and then we'll be right back. ¶¶
Spinning
Welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Hala, your host, and I'm here with the Classical Near Eastern and Religious Studies Student Association members, Julia and Micah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So we just heard three lovely songs. We heard Sea People by Ora Kogan off of her new EP, Crickets. And then we heard Nevermore by Milk and Bone off of Deception Bay. And I Took a Risk by Sarah Hiltz from Beauty in the Blue. Those were three really lovely songs.
Yeah, no, they were super calming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very relaxing. Mm-hmm. So let's jump right back into it. So tell me a little bit more about what you do as an organization.
So as a student association, part of our job is to, or I guess the bulk of our job is to create kind of opportunities for students in the department and students who are interested in the department to get together, meet one another, talk about our lives as students, and also just to have some social opportunities while we're all here at university. And in pursuit of that, we host a lot of events. We do different kinds of stuff. Our big regular one is the monthly pub night. We have pizza and we go out and we hang out and get to know one another, talk about our classes, etc.
Yeah, it's nice to have that sort of like intimate community setting, especially with such a small department like Sinners. It's great to have like the opportunity to get to know each other as opposed to just doing projects together.
Yeah, no, it's really great. And because, again, we are so small, like, I think we know probably the majority of the people in the department, which is really, really nice. And I think it's an experience that a lot of other departments don't really get to have. And so I've really enjoyed being a part of this exec team that way, because I've gotten to know a lot of kind of the like-minded students in the department. So you can walk through the halls now if you can and see and just be like, hey, how's it going? Like, to everyone that just kind of walks by. It's really nice.
Yeah, definitely. So you briefly touched on this, but you've got some good events coming up.
We do.
Yes. We're coming towards the end of the year, so we've only got a few events left to go, but we've got three still. The first one is right after reading break. We're going to have our final pub night of the year, which rather than doing, we've been doing movies before this year, but this time, rather than a movie, we're having our kind of annual general meeting and our elections for next year's exec. So if there are any members listening, you should show up. Or anybody interested in RSA and how it runs, anybody's welcome. And afterwards, we'll go out and have some drinks. And then, so that'll be March 2nd, I believe, the first Friday of March. And then about 2 weeks after that, on the 15th, we're having an alumni night. So we've invited some Sinners alumni who, some of whom graduate, I don't know when exactly they graduated, but recently who are now, some of whom who are working in the field, some of whom who are doing other things, to come and talk about their experiences and what they're doing with their degree. This is definitely kind of a weird degree to have, so it's nice to have the opportunity to talk to some people who are out there doing the adult thing with this degree. And then at the end of the year, on March 29th, we're having our big end of the year party, and that'll be really fun. That's always kind of our biggest event of the year. That one's more, a little bit like we try to kind of team up with some other student associations or clubs if we can and get as many people in as possible to celebrate the end of the year and all the stuff that we've accomplished. And yeah.
Where will it be?
It'll be at Kerner's Pub. I think about 7?
It's
still in the works.
Yes,
we're still planning out some details.
Planning stages, yeah.
One of the things I admire most about the Sinners essay is that you constantly have money to bankroll pizza and beer for everyone. I'm curious what your like financial structure is, that you manage your budget in such a way that that's like an important thing to spend money on.
Yeah, we do receive some funding for our academic events from the departments, for our workshops and such. But we have applied for some grants from like the AUS for kind of our more social aspects and events. So that is where the bulk of it comes from. Also, we try to be as frugal as possible and to save as much money from year to year. So we do have some residual funds from like last year, I think.
Yeah. We definitely, we're really grateful for the financial support that we get from the AUS and the AMS. Being able to be involved in sort of the broader structure of student governance in the university, it's really helpful to us, and it's important to us to be able to represent our, you know, we represent our department at that level, and in return, they help us kind of get the word out about who we are and what we're doing, and part of that is financial support. So grant money is a pretty big bulk of our income. Our membership is very inexpensive. It's only $5. And we don't have very many members because of how small our department is. But we get by, and we don't throw giant events. Pizza for 20 people is 25 people, however many show up to our pub nights. Ultimately, it's not that expensive, but it's worth it. And it's, you know, it's fun.
It's a great way to meet kind of the like-minded people that community.
Yeah, it's part of that community building aspect, definitely seems like a worthy cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on top of all these events, so you're having pub nights, your AGM, alumni night, and the year-end party, you also run an undergraduate journal.
Yes. So the Logos editorial board is somewhat separate from our exec board, but we do work together with them. So Logos is the name of the journal. It's published annually by the editors of the journal for undergraduate papers written by students here at UBC, primarily in the department, because that's who's writing these papers. But obviously anybody who has taken a classical studies course or written a classical studies adjacent paper or religious studies or Near Eastern studies can submit. And I'm not on the editorial board this year, but I was last year, and it was really cool to see all of the different interesting research that undergrads in our department are doing, the things that they've written that they're passionate about. And we put together a really cool journal last year. I'm looking forward to seeing this year's edition.
Mm-hmm. It definitely provides what, in my opinion, a unique platform, because undergrads don't usually typically get to be published like during their undergrads. This is a great way to kind of submit your work and get it out there at least. And then especially if you're interested in pursuing classical studies in the future, you have a publication on your transcript, which is like very hugely impressive for like post-undergrad studies.
Definitely. Have either of you applied to be published in the paper before?
I have, yeah.
Were you published?
I was not, unfortunately. I think it was that year was probably our highest submissions. I think that might have been your year even, Julia.
We did get quite a lot of submissions last year. I don't know about this year. I thought about submitting but decided not to. We got quite a lot of submissions last year, and they were very good. Like, we had the luxury of being very picky about what we took, and there were papers that we turned down that we really liked that we ultimately couldn't publish because we only had room to publish a few papers, and we were trying to get kind of a range of different things. Like, we wanted to publish a Near Eastern studies paper, a religious studies paper, a classical studies paper, a classics paper. We wanted some stuff from all the different areas, which means that, and we got a lot of classical studies papers because that's the bulk of the department. So ultimately, we did have to turn down things that we really liked, which is the struggle of publishing anything.
Yeah, that's kind of par for the course for an undergraduate journal. I submitted this year to the journal with a paper that I wrote for my upper seminar with Dr. Johnson, and was unfortunately rejected. But it's a good experience, at least, to go through that process of like editing your paper and having it be ready for a journal.
Oh no, absolutely. It's again, if you're interested in pursuing classical studies after undergrad, this is like a great experience to kind of get a grasp on the process that you're going to have to do for like all future papers.
It's also, and this is a bit of an advance plug for next year, volunteering to be on the editorial board, even though it means that you can't submit a paper, is really valuable as well, because it gives you a chance to look kind of inside the way an academic journal is put together. Obviously, this is the undergraduate level, so it's probably works a bit differently than a peer-reviewed journal from published by the university would be. But getting to understand the criteria and what is really important in publication, it's valuable insight into the process from the other side, working as an editor. So if you are a person who's interested in this kind of thing and want to be involved, but you're not sure about your paper writing prowess, then working as an editor is really good too.
Definitely. It seems like the paper just offers a plethora of opportunities for personal and professional growth as a student.
Definitely.
Yeah. So switching gears to the other end of the spectrum, what are some good courses if someone is not planning on taking a classical studies major, but is interested in the topic more generally? What would you recommend?
Well, I know for a fact, like, our most popular course is our entry-level 105 course, which is myth. So it does all the Greek myths. I believe it does Roman myth.
I don't actually know. I transferred to UBC in my third year, and so I didn't take the lower-level courses in the department. But, yeah, it's kind of an overview of classical myth.
I took it in my first year, and it was a lot of fun because I know a lot of people have passion. Like, everyone's studied the Greek myths, I think, at one point or another. So that is one of our huge draws, and it's a first-year level course, so that's it attracts a lot of different students. And another one of our most popular enrollers that I found out recently is first-level Latin, which is actually our department's biggest draw,
yeah.
Which was very surprising. But a lot of people, I guess, see it like I did in my first year and was like, that's really interesting and unique, so I'm going to give it a go. And then people stay on after that because of our amazing language department.
We're blessed with really amazing language profs in this department, both Latin and Greek, and the more esoteric. We have, you know, Biblical Hebrew and occasionally, like, I think there's like a one-term Sanskrit.
Yeah, and Akkadian.
Well. Yeah. Here and there, which are super, super interesting to take as an elective if you're interested in etymology or just languages in general, linguistics. And yeah, they're huge draws for the department because there are, you know, they don't have any prerequisites and they're very fun.
Definitely. Something I find interesting about a lot of the center's courses is that most of the 300 levels don't have prerequisites.
Yeah. I think part of the reason for that is that it's hard to say what exactly you would need to know. Some of those courses, like Greek religion, for example, it's a 300-level course, but it doesn't have any prerequisites because while having a knowledge of Greek history can be valuable, ultimately you don't actually need it to study the kind of functions of Greek religion. And some of the courses have a suggested prerequisite, but even then you can kind of get by with it. Like a lot of the 300-level literature courses, classical tragedy, classical comedy, and Greek epic, have recommend that you take CLST 105, the classical mythology course, but you don't have to if you've read a lot of myth, which I think a lot of people kind of grew up with it. You can get by. And it's interesting in-depth stuff.
Absolutely. And I know if people are interested in the more historical aspects of classical Near Eastern religious studies, there are some great survey courses, like 232, which is the Survey of Ancient Greece, and then 231, I believe, is Survey of Ancient Rome.
I may have
flipped those course numbers around. But, those are really interesting. They give you a great overview, which is also very helpful and recommended for the other upper-level historical courses, for sure.
Definitely. So let's listen to one more song, and then we'll be right back to say goodbye.
String. you know?
More than 4,500 Canadians are waiting for an organ transplant right now.
Right now.
4,500.
People are dying.
And you could save a life.
90% of Canadians say they're willing to donate their organs.
But only a few are registered.
So what are you waiting for?
Get registered.
It's easy and it's free.
Leave a legacy.
Be a hero.
Save a life.
Find out how to register today. Go to kidney.ca.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. We're here to say goodbye, unfortunately. This has been hour 14 of 24 hours of student power. I've been joined by Micah and Julia from the Classical Near Eastern and Religious Studies Student Association. Any last words for us?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us. And I think I just wanted to kind of reiterate the fact that we're having our end of the year party in March 29th at Kerner's Pub. Details are still being decided, but they will be posted on our Facebook page, which is, I believe, just the Classical Near Eastern Religious Studies Student Association.
Yeah, I think it uses the CNERS.
Yeah, so CNERS Student Association on Facebook, and so all our details will be posted there as they come out, but it should be a lot of fun, and we'd love to see anybody interested.
For the record, we do know that March 29th is a Thursday, but it's Easter weekend, so we know it's a Thursday. It was not supposed to be the Friday.
It's just like the end of the year celebration, last day before the long weekend. We figured that would probably be most, easier for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great time.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be really fun, and we hope to have lots of people there to
hang out and have fun.
Yeah.
Kind of say hi and maybe come get to know us for next year, because I think we're both rerunning at our elections. Also, if you are interested in running for the Classical Near Eastern Religious Studies Student Association, you are more than welcome to come to our event and put your name in the hat and run yourself for one of our positions. Again, more information will be on our Facebook page about that.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Stay tuned. We've got several more hours of student programming coming up after this. And from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll be having live bands physically in the station, which if you're listening, you're more than welcome to come join us. We have a beverage vending machine, which takes coins. But it'll also be broadcast live on CITR.ca and 101.9 FM. Thanks so much for tuning in.